All right, Acts chapter 2 this morning, y'all, so be prepared. Turn me down just a hair. It's a little bit of echo, but not much. I don't want anybody to miss out. Acts chapter 2, I think most of y'all are pretty familiar with what's going on in Acts chapter 2. If you've read your Bible any at all, if you've been around here any at all, You've heard about it, read about it, known about it, told others about it. You could probably share this message because of that. However, we want to continue to ask the Lord to help us increase our knowledge and increase our ability to make disciples. And therefore, I want to continue to dive in to... that's not the right slides. Should say chapter 2 on there. Did I put the wrong ones in there? Oh, man. We're going to have to go without them, maybe. We're going to see what the Lord has for us. Last week, we talked about there was 120-ish believers hanging out, waiting for what Jesus promised, faithfully waiting and praying. Is that correct? And we talked about what that means and what that helps us know. Because he promised in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even the remotest parts of the earth. Right? And we said that Arden, North Carolina, is part of the remotest parts of the earth. Wouldn't you agree with that? Considering where Jerusalem is. Okay? So we're still the story is unfinished. The mission is unfinished. Undone. We're not there yet. We have more work to do. In other words, Oak Grove Christian Church and the believers around here, we have a command to be his witness in Arden, North Carolina, and the surrounding areas. Everybody agree with that? All right, don't make me hit the amen button up here, y'all. I will do it. I ain't afraid to do it. Just imagine, y'all, a small group of people hanging out in this room like they were told to do, being obedient and preparing themselves for what was promised, right? That's what they were doing because they believed God. They believed God, so they obediently prepared themselves to receive what was promised. And here we are going to read in chapter 2 as we break it down. We're going to break it down into three different sections. We won't read the whole chapter. I'm going to break down different areas. But we're going to see that as the Spirit of God was given to them, it didn't just subtly come into their lives. The Spirit of God didn't just subtly show up and unnoticed. It was explosive, it was obvious, and it was amazing what God did in that moment, right? So we want to see not only what God did in the beginning of this mission, but also understand it's the same God and the same Holy Spirit doing the same work today with this group of people. All right? Now, if you can't get excited about that, we might need to go into some prayer time, because you get to be a part of the greatest thing that's ever happened besides Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected. When he sends his Holy Spirit into the believers, it's the completion of God's program, God's plan of salvation. How God is going to reconcile the sinner to himself. When the Spirit came, he came without. He came with explosive power, and it was like a violent rushing wind, which is pretty amazing that we have high winds this morning, since I'm teaching about how the Holy Spirit came into the believers' lives in this moment. I'm not saying there's an exact connection, but it's kind of a good illustration. There was tongues of fire, y'all. It was totally unmistakable what happened. And I want you to know that I expect that God would do the same today. If he's given us the same mission in this part of the world, I would expect God to give us the same spirit, the same power, the same strength to continue to do what God began in Acts chapter 2. All right, so let me read. Let me see if I put the right ones in here. Nope, I did not. Let me read Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 13. Just to get us started. because we want to talk about the fulfillment of the promise on that day at Pentecost. And this is all happening after what Stan just now told you all about, right? This is the actual coming on of the Holy Spirit, right? When the day of Pentecost, verse 1 of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise, like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was given to them. As the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in the Jerusalem, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? And then in verse 13 it says, but others were mocking and saying, they're full of sweet wine. Can y'all imagine this whole scenario playing out? The Spirit of God faithfully is given to the disciples as they're gathered in a room together around 50 days after the Passover, waiting as they were told to wait. And then this violent rushing wind and tongues of fire happen. And they go into the streets and they start telling people the truth about Jesus, the gospel. They start preaching the truth. And everyone can hear them, even though they don't speak the same language. This is a supernatural event. An amazing supernatural event powered by the Holy Spirit together with the gospel message. And people are hearing it. For the very first time, the church is beginning. The mission has now begun. The mission of the church. And I want to point out that the biggest reason that God gave the Holy Spirit to these believers is so that they could go into the world and tell them about Jesus. There's no way for them to do that without the Spirit of God. They can talk about Jesus without the Spirit of God, but they would never preach the gospel truth about Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit, because they would have never understood the gospel. It was just earlier when Jesus says, I'm going to go be with the Father, right? And one or some of them said, Are you going to restore Israel now? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Are you going to make us great in the world now? Because they didn't understand what was happening. They still didn't understand. It wasn't until the Spirit of God came into them that they had godly wisdom and knowledge to go out and preach the gospel. Even in today's world, you and I, those of us who are believers, those of us who have the Spirit of God dwelling in us because we've surrendered to Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's where we get the strength, wisdom, and power to preach the gospel to anybody. If we're not doing it by way of the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're just talking. Powerless talking, right? This is how revivals happen from this moment in chapter 2 all the way to today. This is how revivals happen, by way of the power of the Holy Spirit, paired together with the gospel of Jesus and who he is. Isn't that great, y'all? All right, so we sit back and say, I wonder how the Lord's going to help me make disciples today. I wonder how the Lord's going to help Oak Grove make disciples in Arden, North Carolina, and these mountains that we live in. It's by way of the Spirit of God, y'all. That's how he's going to do it. That's how he's going to do it. That's the only way he wants to do it. That's the only way he's planned to do it. That's the only way he's going to do it. The Holy Spirit came exactly as Jesus promised. It was explosive. It was unmistakable. And it launched the church into its God-ordained mission. Right? So listen. Don't ever let anybody convince you that there's some other mission out there for the church to be about. It's the mission from day one of Pentecost, of the day when the Spirit came on these believers. The mission is to go into the world, right? Verse 8 of chapter 1, he said, well, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness. That's the mission for the church, to be the witness for Christ in the world. Not just any part of the world, all of the world. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and all the remotest parts of the earth. That's what our mission is. That's why Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're about. That's what we do. That's what it's all about. It's never about anything other than that. Y'all agree with me? Y'all good? Y'all happy about that? Because that makes it simple. To me, that makes it simple. All we got to do is tell people about Jesus. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let him have his way. And tell people about Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit will lead you to do. That's what he'll prompt you to do. That's what he'll give you strength and power to do. And you'll be able to do it in ways you never dreamed if you're surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe we're not going to see flames on your head like we did for these guys, but this is the beginning. This is the moment when God started the church through the Holy Spirit, by way of the Holy Spirit. And it's been going on ever since. Some churches are tapped into it and some aren't. Some believers are tapped into it and some aren't. If you're not tapped into it, if you're not in, you're not involved in the kingdom of God in this way, you're missing out. And you're not about the mission. Any church that is not about making disciples, telling people about Jesus, letting the Spirit of God convict people so they might be saved, give them an opportunity to say yes. If we're not about that, then we're not part of the kingdom of God. If it's about anything else, we're not. Then we're wrong. We're out of line. Then we live in verse 13. He says, others were mocking and saying, they're full of, these guys must be drunk the way they're taught. Who gets drunk and starts speaking other languages that they don't know? Seriously. I mean, drunk people, they might make up some words, but they're not literally like fluently speaking a language they never spoke before. It doesn't happen. Especially in the morning. Drunk people barely can speak the language they know. I'm just telling y'all, this was a powerful moment when the Spirit of God came into these people. All because they believed and they obeyed what they believed. And they were following Jesus' command. Jesus said, stay here and wait and until the Spirit comes on you. So they did that and they prepared themselves. And when it happened, they surrendered to it. And God did a great thing in their life. He turned the world upside down. And I'm willing to say that these guys, even when they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're out there talking in different languages, I'm willing to say they still didn't even know what God was doing fully. They're just being obedient. They're just letting it happen. You know what that tells me? In 2026, in this little dot on the map, it tells me that I don't have to know what God's doing all the time. I don't have to even know why he does what he does all the time. Just surrender to the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit of God do what he does. And then hold on. It's still as great. It's still as amazing. It's still impactful. It still is turning the world upside down. It really is. And if we get caught up in saying, well, nobody loves the church anymore, nobody this, nobody. Okay, well, then we're out of line with what the Spirit of God is doing then. Because there's plenty of people in our world today that want to live in verse 13, want to be a naysayer, want to reject any truth about the spiritual involvement of God in our lives. They want to reject anything about Jesus. So each one of us, every day, must yield to the Holy Spirit. That's our commitment, right? If we want Jesus to be Lord and Savior, then he's in charge. Y'all agree with that? That was an awesome. You should have been ahead of me with the amen on that one. I think most of us here in this room, we really, really want to be a great witness for the Lord. We really want to be a great witness for the kingdom. We want to help people get saved if they want to be saved. But there's like a rub there, because it requires surrender, 100% surrender to the Spirit of God in our life. And when that happens, that means we don't get to be in charge. We don't get to be in control. And as a church, it requires surrendering to the Lord and His plan. Whatever God wants to do with this church so that people might have a chance to be saved, that's what we should be willing to surrender to. And you know as well as I do that the Spirit of God is never going to lead us into sin or lead us into compromise. Am I right? All right, so let's trust Him and watch the power of the Lord work in our lives and in our church. So look, here's number two, point number two, verses 22 and 24. Let's read that for just a moment. In the middle, Peter starts preaching after verse 13. Peter just, we get to hear that one of the greatest sermons, if not the greatest sermon, about Jesus and the gospel. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in the middle of that sermon, in verse 22, is the meat of the entire message. All right, he's talking to all these people from all different parts of the world, and he says in verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to these words." After he's already quoted Old Testament scripture, prophecies, and all of that to prove to them that God promised that Jesus would come, that Messiah would come. Now he says, look, listen to this. "Men of Israel, listen to these words." Jesus, whenever the preacher says, listen to what I'm about to say, it's a good thing to write down. All right, he says, look, "Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed him to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But, verse 24, God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Isn't that great, y'all? He basically showed them in their own understanding of prophecy and God's word that God promised a Messiah. And then he says, hey, by the way, that guy that you hung on the cross, that you let evil people hang on the cross, that you remember you were crying out, crucify him, crucify him, that guy, he's the one. Y'all did that. Now, let me tell y'all something. You want to talk about some bold preaching, some up in your closet preaching, it don't get no more in your closet than this right here. I mean, Peter's pointing fingers and calling names here, right? He's like, hey, you know that guy that y'all crucified? Y'all did that. I don't think Peter says y'all either, but he said you did that. You handed him over to men who didn't know God, who were evil men, and you encouraged them to nail him to the cross and put him to death. And here's the way out, y'all. Right? Here's part of the way. He sets him up for the way out. Right? He's like, y'all just killed the Messiah. You killed the one God sent to save you. Of course, I could feel their hearts drop when they're hearing this. Especially when it's powered by the Spirit of God for the first time. They're just like, uh-oh. But he puts verse 24 in there. He's like, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. Right? Since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. What an amazing few verses of Scripture. What a powerful few verses of Scripture. Now, anybody could say these words. Anybody could read these words out loud. But when it's powered by the Spirit of God, when this truth of Jesus, this gospel truth, has got the power of the Holy Spirit behind it, it is unstoppable. It is a powerful thing that we have to deal with. Peter, by way of the Holy Spirit, placed this truth into their hearts to where they could not ignore it. And he said, here, check this out, and now you deal with it. You did that. So now what? And he's saying it was God's plan. Right? It was God's eternal plan. That's the whole message. Peter's pointing out the problem. He's pointing out the fault. He's pointing out that he's by way of the Holy Spirit, he's convicting them. He's cutting them to the heart. And he's saying the truth. He's telling them the truth. Like, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the Christ. This is the one who God promised. This is how God is going to fix the problem of sin. And y'all killed him. Y'all the ones that put him there. And he really wasn't talking about physically hanging him on a cross. He's saying, your sin put him there. Your rebellious attitude toward God and who he is put him there. Your unwillingness to surrender and obey the Lord as God, that's what put him there. But here's the hope, is because that was God's plan the whole time. That's been God's plan the whole time. Why? Because you and I can't afford to pay for that. You and I can't deal with the problem of sin. We don't have what it takes to pay the bill. But God does. He says, God raised him up and putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. It's impossible because he's God. Y'all are missing a lot of amen opportunities right here. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Right? God did that. God made him Lord. God made him Christ. This is a New American Standard, uses the word Christ. Christ and Savior are the same. You see, this Jesus whom we crucified. Right, when we're reading scripture about the gospel, we're reading scripture about sin and salvation, we might as well put ourselves in there. Amen? But it's God who made him Lord and Christ. And if God made him Lord and Christ, no one can say otherwise. It's just the truth, whether you accept it or not, it's true. Just because you might disagree, if somebody might disagree and say, I don't believe that's true. Okay, well, that don't make it not true. Who are we to say something above what God says? Right? Think about it. You would have people have to dismiss the existence of God to take that stance. Otherwise, they're making themselves higher than God. At the center of God's predetermined plan stands Jesus of Nazareth. At the center of everything that exists, just read the letter to the Colossians, there's Jesus. At the center of everything we are as a congregation, as a church, there's Jesus and who he is. At the center of our own lives as believers, Jesus. He's at the center of it. It's all about him, and he holds it all together. There's no other way around it. Isn't that great? So we have to examine our own lives. Every day we have to get up and say, is Jesus Lord and Savior of my life? And if the answer is yes, then we need to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit for the day. And let the power of the Holy Spirit have the day and win the day. In our own hearts, in our own minds, and in the lives of those that we interact with throughout the day. As long as the Lord gives us days, that's the way it should be. Right? If we're going to be disciple makers, we're going to be about the mission that was started in chapter 2 of Acts, then we need to, as individuals and as a congregation, every day get up and say, okay, Lord, what's next? What now? Who do I talk to today? Who do I pray for today? Who do I love on today? In the name of Jesus. If he's our Lord and Savior. Seems simple, doesn't it? It really does seem simple. Just let him be God. We don't have to figure it out. Read your Bible. Let the Word of God penetrate your heart. Let the Spirit of God apply it. And part of one of my biggest things that I want you to take home today, which I've said a bunch of other times, is the power of the Spirit of God is the same today as it ever has been since Acts chapter 2. It's the same Spirit, the same power. God doesn't run out of power. He doesn't run out of authority. He doesn't run out of love. He doesn't run out of whatever we need to go and do what He sent us to do. And we can get distracted by our prayer list, by our needs, by our concerns, by our worries, and it takes us away from the mission. And if we would just surrender to the Spirit of God, this same Spirit, and let that power and authority run our lives, you'll find that all those things get taken care of. And all those people get dealt with. And all those problems get handled. And all the dilemmas that we think we need to come up with solutions to, somehow the Lord helps us figure that out. While we're on the mission. Right? While we're letting the Spirit of God impact the lives of those around us, not just a little bit, in amazing ways. And if we're tuned into that, we're going to walk away saying, wow, I did not see that happening today. Or I didn't see that coming. I never even knew God would use me that way. And we'll be fighting each other to stand up here and talk about what the Lord's been doing in our lives. Because once that kind of stuff happens on a regular basis, you can't stop talking about it. You can't stop talking about Jesus. You can't stop talking about how so-and-so wanted to know about God and you were able to tell him, or so-and-so needed prayer and I was able to love on him. You can't stop testifying. Why? Because the Spirit of God is alive in you. The Holy Spirit. Our Lord. All right. Now I'm going to finish up right here. Believe it or not. Verse 37. All right, sermon is over, right? All the points have been made. He's landed the plane. In verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then, in verse 41, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Finally, in the last two verses, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that sound amazing? It's like you read that. I don't care how many times you read it. You're sitting there. You're like, man, I wish I could have just been there and watched all that and been a part of all of that. That would have been so amazing. And then you catch yourself, would have been. That still happens today, y'all. That's how the church grows. That's how the mission goes on. Nothing has changed except for the date and maybe the culture a little bit. God's the same, the Spirit is the same, and the mission is the same. And certainly our Savior is the same. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? So here it is. Right here it is. The sermon's over, and he's like, hey, here's the problem. Here's what you did. Here's the solution. And they're like, well, yeah, we need the solution. What are we going to do about this? Why? It says they were cut to the heart, or they were pierced to the heart, New American Standard. They were pierced to the heart. They were cut wide open. You can't do that for nobody. You can't cut somebody's heart open. And I don't mean physically. I mean, you can't get somebody to be so convicted that they need to know what's going on. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Only the Spirit of God can change people's lives to where they really understand just how much we need Jesus, this Lord and this Christ, this Savior. It's an impossible task for any person to do. We have to have the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I want the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit because I already know it's impossible for me to do what God has called us to do. I already know it's not something that I'm able to do. It would be a labor in vain if I did it without the Spirit of God. No one would get saved and everybody would be ticked off if I tried to do it without the Spirit of God. Including me. I'd be ticked off because nobody wants to hear the truth. It'd be like a preacher preaching the truth without the Spirit of God and nobody responding to it. I don't care how many amen buttons you got, you ain't doing it right. If the Spirit of God ain't doing it, you ain't doing it right. So they were cut to the heart. It says they were pierced to the heart. And they asked the question, what shall we do? And that's where we're in our Sunday morning Bible study. If you're not there, you're missing out. Sunday morning Bible study, we're saying our goal as disciple makers is to help people find their place to where they say to God, what can I do about my problem of sin? And praise the Lord, we have the answer. God has given us the answer. It's right here in the Scripture. I don't even know why Peter didn't just say to them, I'm glad you asked. He didn't say he said that. He may have said that, but he didn't say it. Because he said, Peter said to them, he answered the question, repent, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you believe that what I'm preaching is true, all right, so you should repent. That just means stop being an enemy of God. Stop rejecting him and his lordship. And he says, each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There's the way out. That's the way out. I mean, you just obey the instructions. That's all you do. You're not saved by the works that you're doing. You're just obeying what you believe. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll have what I have while I'm talking to you. You want to know, it's not wine, we're not drunk, it's the Holy Spirit. And you can have him too if you do these things, to step into what he's done, to surrender to what he's done. Because if he's Lord and Savior or and Christ, then we have to surrender to that and do what he says to do. Isn't that great, y'all? So here we are in 2026. Same mission, same message, same Holy Spirit. You realize this family here at Oak Grove and any other church around the world that believes the gospel, we are part of the greatest thing that's ever happened. We're invited to be a part of it. We have the privilege of being a part of it, and we have everything we need to be successful at continuing the mission until Jesus says it's over. Am I right? So if we can't get excited about that, we got problems. We got some real problems if we can't get excited about that. Because this mission and this gospel and this power is still turning the world upside down. Still turning the world upside down. And I'm like, y'all, there's times. I mean, there's just times. You know, it's up and down, isn't it? Every day, every year, every month. Life happens. The world goes around. Other people are involved. Anytime other people are involved, you know that there's going to be some issues. Because certainly we're not the problem. I'm not the problem, right? Everybody knows that that's not true. That ain't the right time for an amen. But I'll let you have that one. All right. Let me finish with this statement right here. The power of the Holy Spirit produces repentant hearts, obedient baptism, forgiven people. Also, the power of the Holy Spirit produces devoted churches that grow as the Lord adds to their number. Hello? Everybody in here, I know all y'all, everybody in here wants God to have his way. Everybody wants people to get saved. Everybody wants Oak Grove to be successful in whatever God wants us to do. I know it's true. There it is. There it is. Right? So we have to every day do our part. As individuals, we do our part to stay tuned in to the Spirit of God in our life. Stay tuned in to whatever it takes to let him be Lord and Savior with his message by his power. And as a church, we encourage one another to do the same. And as a church, we become powerful as one. Just like these people were before the Spirit of God came on them, they were in a room together, united in what they were doing. They all believed, they all were obedient, they were preparing for whatever the Lord was about to do, even when they didn't understand it. So why wouldn't we be the same church today? Be united in what we're doing here. Be united in letting Jesus be the center of it all. Be united in the gospel that we preach. Right? Be united in the message that the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit puts in us so that we can go into the world and produce repentant hearts and obedient baptism and forgiven people. That's the whole reason I'm even standing up here being a preacher. It really is, y'all. And I think I've told you this 100 times, but I really did love being a truck driver. Not only was I the best truck driver on the planet, but I was the coolest truck driver on the planet. And I had a lot of fun being a truck driver. But I'm standing here as a preacher today because of everything I'm telling you. When I learned all of this, it changed my whole world. It turned everything upside down. And I knew that I had to do something different. For me personally, I had to do something different so that I can get in line with and get engaged with God and what he's doing. I could have stayed truck driving and still been saved, and I probably still could have made disciples in some way, form, or fashion, but that's not what the Spirit of God led me to do. And I'm just going to let you know, I know and believe that the Lord is working here at Oak Grove doing great things. Not going to do, he's doing. He's already doing them. There are things happening here that are just, they're everywhere with different people, different folks, different situations. Every time I turn around, I see the Lord in the middle of something. At this church with all of y'all. And I think we would make a terrible mistake if we minimize what he's doing because it's not as big as we think it should be. Or because it's not as great as maybe some other church down the road or on the other side of the country is doing. Who are we to say what God is doing isn't good enough or not great enough or not grand enough, right? Do we need miraculous things all the time? Do we have to have the fire on the heads all the time to believe that the Spirit of God is active around here? No. Just pay attention to what he's doing here. Pay attention to what's going on here. And then he'll show us everything that he's doing. I can't keep up with him, y'all. I really can't. Seriously. If I learned one thing during this whole hurricane situation for the last almost 2 years, it's that I don't have to worry about keeping up with God. Just get in line with him. Just surrender to whatever he's doing. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be in charge of it. You don't even have to know what's going on. Because if you just let him be who he is and what he does, you're going to start seeing way more stuff than he's doing than you ever saw before. And I think as believers generally, not just us, but around the world, we miss out on a lot of what God does in our lives because we're not paying attention. We're focused on something else. We're not sitting in a room prayerfully waiting and preparing ourselves for what he's doing for the day because we're worried about or thinking about or trying to come up with our own plan on how to make something happen. And I'm just like, I hope every other preacher. I spend a lot of time praying about driving around thinking about, sitting in that office thinking about how we're going to get the church going. How are we going to help people come to the church? How are we going to help people get saved? How are we going to, and I feel like I'm wasting my time doing that. I'm not talking about talking to God about it, but I'm trying to figure that out. I'm trying to come up with a plan. And God's just up there waiting. Got a little timepiece out. He's like, whenever you get done making plans, you can ask me and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do and we'll see what happens. Right? And then it's going to be, okay, my plan versus God's plan. Not even a contest, right? Just trying to be real with y'all. Because what it's about is, do people know Jesus and do they want to be saved? That's it. That's our mission. Stand out in the streets. Let the Spirit of God put words in your mouth. And you'll be amazed on how God cuts people to the heart. And you won't even be trying. You'll just be answering a question about something that has nothing to do with the gospel sometimes. And then they're like a month later to come back. It's like, remember when I asked you that question? I need to be saved because I never thought about it. And they're just like, what? Wait, whoa, hey, whoa. I never even said. And they're ready to get saved because God is at work. You see. So we're going to sing now. And we're going to sing about our Savior. And if you're not saved, now's the time. If you want to be baptized because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you should be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. But don't do it if you haven't repented. If you don't want to repent, don't do it. Wasting time. If you don't want to repent, then you're just going to be taking a bath. This is real as it is. But if you understand that we've offended God and we need a Savior and our Lord is our Savior, then you should say, you know what, I don't want to be an offender of God anymore. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I want to be saved. You can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins because that's the way God laid it out. And you can have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's stand together and we'll sing. If you have a decision to make, now's the time.